Well, you know how it's easier to start a car with the key? Same way with radio. You have to push the right keys, make sure everything's connected. So we're on. And hello there. This is North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore. Sans Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. And we got a pretty full lineup for you tonight with a lot going on, at least in terms of interviews. Not so much going on the sports fields right now due to the weather, of course. And in case anybody's listening from around the region, Barry Hanrahan, if you're listening down there in Philadelphia, we hope everybody's okay with the Flyers having that problem in their home arena last night, I think it was. I saw on the news. Get this thing right. But the weather here, yikes. It's just it's weather you would ordinarily get in January or February. And I think, as we discussed last fall, everything seems to be a month off. Everything seems to be happening a month later. So this is sort of early March weather that we're having right now, with about 4 or 5 inches of snow here in Cape Ann. Very cold in the 30s, going to get down into the 20s, and wind chill tomorrow at baseball practice will be in the teens. So very weird. So most, if not all, games postponed today. I'm not sure exactly what was supposed to get started today, if anything, but at least all the practices were canceled. And I know most schools just sent the kids home right after school. But we do have a full lineup. Bill and I will be talking to a whole bunch of people tonight. Bill Newell will be talking with some baseball coaches, along with the brand-new Lynn English High School Athletic Director. We'll have Gary Larrabee on. Gary, of course, sports writer and sports historian. We'll talk mostly about the Masters, but some other things as well, including some local golf information. Gary, also the media liaison for the PGA Seniors Tournament, which will be taking place in 2017 in the region, in the area. Steve Krause, the sports editor of the Daily Item, will be on board. We'll also talk to a couple of athletic directors, too, Rockport's Mary Ryan and Danvers' Andy St. Pierre. Great to be talking with them and get an update on spring sports in both of those schools, as well as maybe a quick look back on the winter sports season. And Bill Newell talks to Lynn Classical High School baseball coach Mike Zukowski, and to Beverly baseball coach Dave Wilbur, along with Dick Newton. As we said, he is the new athletic director at Lynn English High School, following Gary Malaya, who has moved up to an administrative position. And, of course, lots of position. That wasn't easy to get out. Lots of changes with ADs and football coaches and all that stuff. We'll be talking about more as the year progresses. But we're heading down the stretch for high school sports. Hard to believe that here we are already into the spring season. Doesn't look like it outside, of course, but it is April. And, you know, we sort of sailed through the football season. That's the longest season, and yet it seems to go by quicker than the others. And we had a great basketball hockey season, a winter sports season, winter track, and now here we are into the spring sports. So we'll catch you up on a couple of those schools and as to what's happening, and we'll also be talking sports in other areas as well. And don't forget, Bill Newell has sports reports every morning on North Shore Today. Every day, Bill gets that show up there before noontime, for the most part. And right now, I'm on an assignment, as they say, for a couple more weeks. And once that's over, we'll get back to posting that program very early in the morning. Usually, we record the show at 7:30 a.m., and then it's usually posted by 8:30 a.m. But lots of great information on North Shore Today, and it's right there on the website as you look at us. So what we'll do is we'll take a very short break. We'll come back, see if we can check in with Gary Larrabee, and we'll get started with some warm weather talk about the Masters upcoming on Thursday, I believe it is. It is, in case anybody is unaware, the Red Sox did not play today. Opening day postponed until tomorrow in Cleveland. Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Madruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trusts, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows. Why Anderson? With low E glass, low maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interiors, you can turn simple window replacement into significant home improvement. See the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Yes, we do measure up. Thank you to Gerard Moynihan. We're back now with Gary Larrabee, sports historian, golf writer extraordinaire. And Gary, welcome and happy spring to you.
Yeah, what's this global warming thing all about? This doesn't look like global warming to me.
Well, it did to me in January and February when I was trying to ski and everybody had T-shirts on, but everything's upside down. And I don't know, Gary, it's going to probably upset the local golf scene for a day or two. But I got to start by mentioning, I mentioned in the email to you this afternoon, I did watch the 60-minute piece last night on Bubba Watson, and it was absolutely fascinating. And the close-ups in his eyes, he's just so full of energy and excitement. But then to watch him on the golf course, what he does, this guy's pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, and he's very genuine. He does have a very emotional side to him, but he's very genuine in all that he does and the way he expresses himself. And we don't have enough of those guys on the PGA Tour, but yes, he's one of our favorites. You know, he's won two Masters. He's in contention in a lot of majors, and he's obviously one of the Super Six, if you will, who will be amongst the six favorites come Thursday. And he is one of the, as you say, one of the most vibrant, the most charismatic, if you will, personalities and performers out there. We're lucky to have him.
Very much so. And Gary, just one other quick note. His caddy was speaking so highly of him, which I suspect is probably self-serving. But what is the relationship at that level, Gary, between a world-class golfer and his caddy?
I think those two guys, based on what we saw last night, just have a great relationship. They can be perfectly honest with each other, but they have a lot of fun. They keep what they're doing in perspective. They're playing a game for a lot of money, and it's easy to talk like that and to joke and not to be completely serious when you're making as much money as Bubba Watson's making. But there's a real strong humanity between the two of them, and that's something we like. Like Watson and Bones, Watson and his caddy all those years, for the caddy who passed away, had it, and of course Bones, Mackay, and Mickelson have it. There's a lot more to being a player and a caddy on the PGA Tour than the business at hand, and I think we certainly saw that last night.
Interesting, very interesting. And from a layman's point of view, sometimes it looks to me like a caddy is almost an assistant coach out there.
He is, and he's an extension of the player, and they play a variety of roles, but you know the best ones know how to handle their players, whether it's dealing with a shot coming up or dealing with his players' psyche when things do not go right, and even to keep them calm down when things are going very good for them, and that's why the caddies can be making over $1 million a year if they play it right.
Lovely, lovely. All right, to the Masters, Gary. What are we looking at?
I think we have to look at the six obvious names, starting with Bubba Watson, who's won it twice, and the golf course sets up so beautifully for him. We have to look at Rory McIlroy, who needs the Masters to finish the career Grand Slam. He would become the sixth player to do that. Tiger has done it, is the most recent. And, of course, Phil Mickelson still needs a U.S. Open to do it. We have to look at Jordan Spieth, who won last year's Masters with a record-tying 17-under-271. We have to look at Ricky Fowler, who is yet to break through and win a major, but he's adored by a lot of the young fans. He's colorful. He does things very different, and people are looking at him. People are looking at Australian Adam Scott, who's won a Masters and who's getting over, giving up his those long shafted putters that were banned as of the end of last year, and he's doing very nicely with a short putter again. He's finished second twice and second once in the last month or so. It looks like a great Masters, and I'll be shocked if one of those big names that we've been talking about doesn't finish at the top.
Yeah,
including Adam Scott's fellow Australian, Mr. Jason Day, who's also figured he's been a prominent player at the last couple of Masters. And any of those six guys, you could do worse than put your money on one of those six guys.
Yeah, Jason Day reminds me of a streak hitter in baseball. When he gets hot, you don't know how long he can go, but he's going to go a while.
And they all have that same capability.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Gary, you in your heads up email to me, you have a name on here that I have no idea who it is, Jim Herman.
Jim Herman is really a fellow who was working for Donald Trump. Down at Doral as an assistant pro, and Trump saw the potential in this young man as a player, and he said, "Get out of my pro shop and go try to make a name for yourself as a player." And I think he got a little bit of financial support from Trump, and lo and behold, who wins the Shell Houston Open over the weekend? Mm-hmm. But Jim Herman beating the likes of Henrik Stenson, Dustin Johnson, the aforementioned Spieth, Fowler, Patrick Reed, even Phil Mickelson. So he's now got a ticket to the Masters this week. And it's another example, we talked about it before, Rick, of how there are guys out there we've never heard of who are capable of breaking through, and Jim Herman did it yesterday. He's $1.2 million richer, and now he's playing in the Masters as of Thursday, and it's just another example of why there are so many people out there who can win tournaments on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, and it's that, you know, the old adage of that's why you keep score. Pretty cool, pretty cool. A new name to watch out for. What's going on locally, Gary?
Well, to give you a little bit of a preview, what's appearing in my first golf column in my weekly spot in the Salem News starting this Friday.
No good, it's back. All right, good.
We are back. We're going to talk about two local names that are, one's very well known in the area. The other one is not, a fellow who's not well known probably to my readers, but is well known in the golf community, is Salem native and Damas resident Joe Curtis, who was just retired after 42 years in the golf industry as a very, very successful salesman. First, for Wilson Sporting Goods for 4 years, of makers of the famous Wilson Staff golf ball and Wilson Staff fines. After 4 years, Joe got a chance to come to Acushnet, makers of the gold standard in golf equipment and golf balls and golf shoes and golf gloves. And Joe is stepping down and retiring after 38 years with Acushnet. And quite a character, a member at Salem, and he deserves a little pat on the back, so we'll give him one Friday, as well as Kirk Hannafeld, former assistant, head professional, and golf director at Salem Country Club, who left Salem in 1999 and is now returning to Salem as the director of instruction, a new position for Kirk, who's turning 60 next year but still has an awful lot of game, had a very, very successful career on the Champions Tour, some injuries kind of shortened that career down. But Kirk's coming back to Salem Country Club, and don't be surprised if next year he qualifies for the U.S. Senior Open at the age of 60 or 61. And you know where that's being played next year, Rick?
I do, and I was going to ask you about an update. Tell us about it right here in right here on the North Shore.
Right here on the North Shore, where Kirk is going to start work on April 1. I'm sure it's been delayed the last couple of days with the snow, but right there at Salem Country Club. So very excited to have Kirk back in the North Shore golf community, more or less on a full-time basis. And an exceptional teacher that many people don't know so much about. They know about his successes winning all kinds of tournaments regionally and contending and playing in majors and contending on the Champions Tour for several years. And now he's back in our midst, and we're delighted to have him.
All right. Gary, update on your writing. Let's go over some of the stuff that you have for sale and maybe anything else you might be working on that you could tease us with and mention the Friday article coming up, too.
No, thanks, Rick. We're back writing golf columns for the Salem News starting Friday for the next 6 months. Very fortunate to be wrapping up my 10th golf book, The 100-Year History of the New England PGA. That'll be out in September. It's primarily a book being written for the nearly 1,100 members of the New England PGA, both head professionals, retired professionals, and assistant professionals. Having fun finishing that up, and still looking to find people who would like to purchase my other most recent book, Sensation at Salem, looking back on the 1954 U.S. Women's Open played at Salem, won by an ailing and unfortunately soon to be deceased Babe Zaharias, who won her third and final Women's Open that year at Salem by a record 12 shots. A great memory for Salem Country Club, but I'm sure we'll have more great memories served up when they host the Senior Open next year. And they're getting things really ramped up at Salem, led by Executive Director Ed Carboni and his new assistant, Executive Assistant Mike Goggin. So things are getting excited. Still, we can get this snow off the ground.
I know, it's crazy.
We're all holding our breaths at this point.
Well, I tell you, it's great to have a first-hand pipeline to that Senior Open right here, and I appreciate it. And yeah, it's going to be a good week, Gary. I'm sure. Well, a friend of mine used to call this, when you get spring snow, he used to call it poor man's fertilizer. So everything's going to be green by the end of the week.
We hope so.
Absolutely. Okay, Gary, next week, hopefully, we'll look back on the Masters.
Look forward to it, Rick.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Rick.
Take care. Gary Larrabee, who is a sports writer, sports historian. Also, don't forget his columns every Friday now in the Salem News. This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore. This is North Shore Sports Night. We'll come back after we take a quick break and check in with Rockport High School's Athletic Director, Mary Ryan.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new Game Time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
All right, welcome back to North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, and along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, joining us now up in Rockport is the Rockport Athletic Director at Rockport High School, Mary Ryan. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing? What does this kind of weather do to athletic directors' psyches?
Oh, it kills it. You have your phone next to your ear 24/7.
Well, you know, it's very early, so I don't know. Did you guys have any opening games planned for today?
No.
Okay.
We've had some scrimmages that we're supposed to be trying to get in with the next couple of days, but we don't open up our spring schedule until next week.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah, I saw John Parisi. I think he mentioned that, baseball coach. I think he mentioned that yesterday. Well, Mary, how long have you been at athletic director now at Rockport?
I'm going on my 11th year.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Really? Oh my! I saw Steve Rowell walking the other day with his wife. They were out with a power walk, and I thought, damn, the time goes by. Well, let's look back on the winter sports if we could quickly, Mary, because
sure.
To me, whenever Rockport High School wins an event, a game, a meet, whatever it might be, I think it's important because you guys are so overmatched in terms of numbers for the most part. So, how'd things go this winter?
Well, we had, in terms of record-wise, it wasn't as well as we would have liked. But I think, we had two new coaches this fall, this winter, with a new boys basketball coach in Phil Whitley and a new ice hockey coach in Pat McIntosh. We're behind the eight ball because of our size, but when you're bringing in new coaches, there's got to be a new philosophy and new tactics and terminology that has to be, that the kids are going to have to learn. So mm-hmm. I think our kids did a good job. I think we competed. I mean, one of our biggest ice hockey wins was, or it actually turned out to be a tie, was against Shawsheen, and they ended up doing very well in the state tournament. And then our boys basketball team, I think we competed extremely well. We just didn't, have the guns at the end of a game to put it away. And our girls team, we struggled with numbers this year, so we were only able to have a varsity team.
Mm-hmm.
But the girls lost. They had four overtime games.
Wow.
Which, I mean, how many overtime games do you see in a season? Never mind,
yeah.
If I combine both my boys and my girls program. winning two of those and losing two. But we were in it right up until the beginning of February, and then we hit a rough patch where we had to really do well in our last four or five games, and it got to be a little bit much.
Yeah, well, no question. And everything is cyclical. I mean, we know that, you know. The one thing that amazes me, I haven't talked with you in a while, but, you know, Dave Curley's record in soccer is just amazing what he does with those kids and the great tradition that has become.
Yes, absolutely. Dave's a great, great coach. You know, I think he does a great job with the kids. And, you know, when people play Rockport and boys soccer, they know that regardless of who the team is, the big school or a small school, that our kids are absolutely going to be prepared for those games. So I think Dave is really an extremely good tactician and a teacher of the game.
One of the
utilizes our small school, you know, mentality to just put the kids in the right places.
Yeah, and as I said, it's amazing. You go up against some of these schools that it just isn't right to have that kind of mismatch in terms of numbers. But one of the luxuries a big school has, Mary, is that, for want of a better term, kids can flunk off the team and the teams can still compete. You don't have that luxury in Rockport, so the kids have to be student athletes, don't they?
Yes, they do, and we've had some very good student athletes at Rockport. You know, once in a while we might get one or two, but for the most part, our kids are good students, and they do their work and are able to juggle, you know, their academic work with their club commitments as well. We have, you know, many kids who are in the National Honor Society, so being a small school, the kids are given the luxury of being involved in many different activities. Mm-hmm. So that's a positive thing, I think, for the kids.
You know, before we go on and look at spring, is AD a full-time job up there, or do you have to teach also?
I teach, and I coach in the fall. So
what, and I forgot about the coaching. How many classes do you have?
I'm a 60-40. So mm-hmm. I teach three, and 40% is supposed to be the athletic part. But
good God,
that's not a
no. It's more like 60-60.
100% AD, 60%.
Yeah,
I'm a 160.
Exactly. And are you coaching field hockey?
Yes.
Yeah, I totally forgot that. Good grief, I'm getting old, Mary. So before we go on, you got to get some help now. Do you have an aide in the building? Do you have an executive assistant or someone who can help you out?
No.
Nothing. Oh dear Lord. Well, I know some ADs. I know some other ADs who are in the same pickle, and it just isn't fair. But I guess it speaks to the dedication that you have. You have to love what you're doing.
Yes, I do. You know what? I'm going to coin a phrase from Steve Rao, the five P's. Proper performance prevents poor proper planning prevents poor performance.
There you go.
You just have to make sure that we get all of our little ducks in a row. And, you know, I do have some service study kids that help me out. But, you know, there's just so many things that I have in my head that I know that I need to do. So mm-hmm. sometimes I just like doing it myself.
Well, that makes sense. But I think, you know, I taught math for 38 years at Gloucester High School, and they've reeled me back in for 5 weeks as a favor to fill in for a math teacher who's out for a while. You know, to me, I used to listen to some teachers complain about, I don't know, some extracurricular activities. Kids might not be performing as the teacher might expect in class, but they're doing well outside. And to me, it's so important to have these extra things. And athletics, to me, is part of the curriculum. And, you know, you know how the academies, everybody has to participate in a sport. And it's too bad we can't do that in public schools.
Yes. No, I mean, to me, it's an added class for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of school, they get to run around. But it's educational athletics, definitely.
All right. What about spring now? Tell me about your coaches and what you got in coming up and maybe some numbers.
Well, we have boys baseball. You know that John Parisi, who's entering his 20th season year with Rockport.
And I got to interrupt, John. When I played in the semi-fast pitch baseball, a softball league here in Gloucester, John was a bat boy for a little while. I can't believe he's now been coaching for 20 years. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Mayor. Sorry.
And he's he's another one who does a great job with our kids. You know, the numbers games, trying to find enough pitchers, and mm-hmm. I think with coaching, it's like with teaching, you got to want to continue to learn, and John is definitely someone who is always finding new ideas, trying to tap into different resources. I think they have a fairly young team. You know, I think it's pretty much junior laden.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Ramson and Miles Wrenn and Andrew Wernan being seniors. And I think they're going to do a good job this year. I think they're going to, the last couple of years they've missed the tournament by a game. And I can definitely see us making the tournament this year. And you never know, possibly making some headway in the Baker division in the Cal.
Excellent.
In terms of the softball, new coach, Diane, John's wife, retired last year. So Mike Harrison is going to be our new coach. He was previously at Manchester Essex. Our numbers are about 25, 26 with the softball, but again, that also includes middle school students, which, due to our size, mm-hmm. we do need to tap into those younger kids. They've got some big shoes to fill. Jess Collins was our pitcher, and she has graduated, so we have to find someone to pitch. But I think that there's still a strong enough core there for us to be successful. And in terms of the girls' tennis numbers are extremely high.
Mm-hmm.
There are about 25 girls in the girls' tennis program, and this weather is certainly not conducive to them, preparing for the season. But Bill Scalfani has been with us, I believe, for 4 or 5 years, and he just has he's got a nice way with trying to teach the game of tennis, and we have many, students who are novice tennis players, so I think, with his patience and his guidance, I think our tennis program is, in the right hands. But, you look at the tennis teams in the Cape Ann League, and with a Linfield and a Manchester Essex and a Pennsylvania and a Newburyport, they're very, very strong programs. So, we try to dig and steal as much as we can.
Yeah, I understand that. And I know that it's never fun to lose, but it is fun to get out there and participate and play to win. And I know that's what it's all about.
It is. They're still... you're right. It's great to win, but I still feel that our kids are gaining a great experience. They're learning many lifelong lessons that are going to help them be successful when they go on to college and go on to the workforce later on in life.
Absolutely.
They'll all be able to look back on their athletic experiences at Rockport and a smile will come upon their face.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And, something like tennis, you that's a skill you play forever. I mean, you can play in the 80s and 90s.
Exactly. Absolutely.
All right, Mary. Jesus, great talking with you. I got to get up there and introduce myself to you face to face. I'm going to be up there soon to talk to John and talk to softball too. So I'm looking forward to that. But in the meantime, I hope you have a wonderful spring and a great spring season.
Just pray for good weather.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks.
Days of 70 degrees, I'll take it.
All right. I hope so. We had it in January. You would think we could have it now.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Mary, thank you so much for talking with us. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you so much, Rick. Take care.
Take care, Mary. That's Mary Ryan, who is the Rockport High School Athletic Director, and as you can tell, another very exuberant and enthusiastic supporter of high school athletics and doing a great job. 60-40, man, that's crazy. You got to teach and be an athletic director, too. That's not easy. That's not easy. Tim Kern's not here. Tim is coaching baseball. Actually, he's coaching freshman baseball at Gloucester High School this spring.
Beverly High baseball coach Dave Wilbur is with us in his 15th year at Beverly High School. And, Dave, welcome and great to have you with us. And, tell us, about last year's team and how you kind of get ready and set the platform for this season.
Well, last year was a really strong finish by our guys. We were right around 500, but which has happened in the last few years, we've really played our best ball at the end of the season, which you want to do, and we really played strong at the end and had a really good tournament showing. And anytime you win and get in the tournament and have success, it does carry over to the next season. The kids have high expectations, and this class is ready to go.
Who did you lose off of last year's team?
Well, we lost David Drinkwater. It was seven. He had a pitching record of 7-2. It was all conference. We lost Anthony Morrissey, another starting pitcher. We lost Gavin Sparkman, our first baseman. And we had two boys leave the school system and transfer out. So we lost quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So who are you counting on for this season?
Well, with us our saying, it all starts with your senior class. You know, we have seven seniors, and we expect them, as always, to be the team leaders and lead the team and do their part and accept their role and do the best that they can to set the example for the younger players.
And what about positions? Where do you find some of your strength?
I'll start with my three captains. Returning captain Nick Cotraro. He will be in left field. Starting pitcher Dylan Stevens pitched last year. He'll be our number one guy coming into the season on the mound. And our other captain is all-conference right fielder Sean Hanlon. So those three guys will lead us. And Garrett Desmond, returning starting shortstop. Ricky Johnson will be starting at first base. Rocky Pisa will be one of our starting pitchers and also playing third base. And Christian Miller, a senior who's his first year in the program, will be competing for outfield time. So those are our seniors.
Do you have a spot that's kind of a big question mark or two right now at this point of the season?
Well, as always, I'm concerned about the pitching in the outfield. We lost a couple of really good outfielders, and our outfielders kind of experienced, with the exception of Hanlon, we're very inexperienced in the outfield, and we're really kind of inexperienced with varsity pitching. Dylan's the only one with really a lot of experience. Rocky's got a little bit, but you need four or five guys to get you through a season, and that's a concern with me right now.
Mm-hmm. What about this weather, the snow we've had on Monday? How does that set you guys back at this point?
Well, I don't, you know, I'll tell you, 20 years ago, I used to go crazy about this stuff, but, you know, it's snowing here, it's snowing everywhere, and you've got to make an adjustment, and if we're inside, we're inside, we'll have crisp practices, and keep the kids a long time. One thing I've learned is that the snow always melts, the field's always dry, and we play our games, and so whenever that happens, we have to be ready. I think all of the programs in this area are used to that, and the coaches are certainly used to adjusting, and, you know, it's not a big deal because there's nothing you can do about it.
No, absolutely. Now, the rest of the league, when you look around the rest of the league this year, Dave, who are you looking at as strong teams? I know, like, a team like Danvers did very well, I guess, in the Herald preseason poll that's out this weekend. What other teams do you think are going to be formidable this year?
Well, in the NEC North, ever since Peabody's been in the league, they've won it. And the only team to win it besides them has been us. We've won it three times, and they've won it all the time. And so in the NEC North, you've got to beat Peabody if you want to win that division. And we always, our goal is to compete for that NEC North crown every year. But this year, you've got Danvers in this. Danvers has switched sides. So Danvers is now in the NEC North, which makes our division extremely strong. So Danvers and Peabody are certainly the favorites in that division, along with Lynn Classical, who returns basically their whole team. I think those three teams on paper probably have the strongest teams.
Gotcha.
NEC South, with Danvers gone, I probably think every coach is smiling right now. And I think over there, from what I understand, Marblehead has a lot of guys returning, and Swampscott's got some pitching, so I think that division is wide open.
Dave, if there was such a thing as a free agent draft in Northeastern Conference baseball where you could pick up a player or two, I mean, who would be a premier player in the Northeastern Conference that may not be on the Beverly team that you would say, wow, these are a couple of the real stars within the Northeastern Conference?
Well, if I had one pick to take any kid in the league, I'd take Olczak. I mean, he pitched probably 13 or 14 games for Roger. He's an outstanding high school pitcher. I'll take that guy.
From Danvers, okay.
Yeah.
And he's not far away, Dave. I mean, he's just next town.
Roger's my friend. I was trying to talk to Roger, see if we could school choice him over here just for a year. But anybody who pitches that much and wins that often, he could help any team. And it always starts with pitching. So he's the guy I would take.
Dave, I'll let you close out. If you could share with me who's coaching with you this season.
Well, I've got a great staff, a real loyal staff. My JV coach is Rich Walsh, who's been with me for 15 years. My freshman coach is Paul Munzing, who's been with me 6 years. And I have several volunteer assistants that have been in and out, you know, over the years. And Eric Oxford is with me for his first year here as a volunteer assistant at the varsity level. But Richie being my JV coach and varsity assistant for 15 years. He's been around a long time. He could be a head coach and anytime he wanted, but he's been loyal to our program, and we're certainly glad to have him. And like I said, Paul Munzing and Rainey Perez do our freshman program. And Terry Conant and Joe Belmonte, former coaches of mine, help out on the weekends. So I've got a really loyal staff that I trust, and great guys. I'm very lucky to have them.
Great. Anything else I didn't ask you about, Dave, about Beverly baseball this year?
We're excited, Bill. You know, we're looking to be a tournament team and contend for the NEC North, and we can't wait to get playing.
Wow, but it does sound tough this year. It's not getting any easier, is it?
No, it's not going to be easy, but it never is.
All right, Dave, always good talking with you, and best of luck this season. Yep. Dave Wilbur, head baseball coach at Beverly High School, with us on MSO News Sports.
All right, Bill, thank you very much. Nice interview with Dave Wilbur. On the line now is Andy St. Pierre, the athletic director over at Danvers High School. Hi, Andy.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great weather, huh?
Yeah, it's wonderful. Anything to get me out away from shoveling.
Oh, okay, this is good. Then the timing is right. Dave Wilbur was just talking to Bill about maybe recruiting Roger Day to go over there and coach baseball, be an assistant baseball coach for a while. Is that a rumor?
That'd be a terrible idea.
You think? Oh, man. You know, I want to get to that in a second, Andy, but we did see you, Bill and I, over at the tournament, during the basketball tournament, and maybe a quick recap on the winter sports season that you guys had, particularly boys basketball, of course, but I'm guessing another pretty good all-around winter season for Danvers High School.
Yeah, we really did. We had a great season once again, and, you know, we're very lucky that we have a lot of great coaches in place, and our student athletes work really hard, and you know, we did have a good season. Girls hockey had a phenomenal year again. Boys basketball had a tremendous record and lost to a really good team in the postseason. But they played hard, you know, and all of our teams play hard, and they give everything they have, and that's all we can ask. So our coaches coach them up, and they go out there and play.
All right, let's talk about spring sports. First, starting off, do you have any new coaches this spring?
This spring, let's see. Jeff Bartlett's going to be our girls outdoor track coach. He's new to the spring season. He helped out in the indoor season a little bit, and he was a coach at Swampscott for several years. So he's not new to the profession, and he teaches in town through the district. So he'll be leading the girls up. Boys and girls tennis have new coaches. Paul Vecchione's going to coach the boys. He's a teacher in our school. And then Amy Ladd, who's also a teacher in the district, is going to coach the girls. And they've been doing a phenomenal job so far, getting the kids up to speed and running them through drills and getting them into shape. Softball is the other new coach, Colleen Newberry. She replaced Tara Petricelli, longtime coach here. And Colleen comes with a ton of experience. She was at St. Mary's of Lynn for, I think, 15 years at a very, very high level there, won a lot of league championships and even a couple state titles. So we're really lucky. You know, we have, like I said, a great coach and staff and, you know, throughout our seasons, but we're really excited about the new coaches we have on board.
Excellent, excellent. And, you know, it's, I don't know, were you guys scheduled to have any live events today?
No, we just had practices today. We had some scrimmages, and obviously it would have been nice to get out there and, you know, compete against some other teams to see where we stack up. You know, it hasn't been tough compared to last year in terms of being indoors, but, you know, it's always hard in the spring season. You want to get out there and get on the field and start getting the feel for things.
Oh, absolutely.
We had some scrimmages, but no games yet.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I see the football players. It starts to get cold maybe around the end of October at practice. And, geez, with spring sports, it's cold. It's cold right till toward the end of the season. You got to love the sport. And I think our New England kids are particularly hardy when it comes to baseball, softball, and lacrosse.
Absolutely, you have to be. I remember last year just going to the baseball games out at the Twy Field. You know, there were games going into early May that I remember being up there in the press box. It was 30 degrees, wind blowing from left field. It was cold.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Well, that brings us to Roger Day. And, you know, I know Tim Kearns, my partner here, is he coached Gloucester High School varsity baseball for quite a while. Now he's helping out with the freshmen, but he has such great respect for Roger Day. And I got to tell you a story, Andy. I was at, we did a Super Bowl game one time at Lynn a couple of years ago, a couple of football games. And after the game, Paul Ingram and I were standing out on the platform outside at Manning Field. And Roger was out there. And I listened to Roger talk baseball for about 10 minutes in the rain. And I learned more baseball in that 10 minutes than I think I probably have in my whole life. Just an amazing, not just a repository of baseball, but he can explain it. And on the other hand, he's still a student of the game.
And you know what? He remembers every detail from every game.
Wow.
Ask him any game from his past, and he can tell you the whole situation and what was going on, what was going through his head. It's remarkable. You know, he's a student of the game. It's his life. It's what he does. You know, he's passionate about it, and you know that's why his teams are so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not work for him. It's fun. It's enjoyable, and he just has a way of connecting with kids. He pushes them really hard, but he certainly gets the best out of them, and you know that's what we ask for. And you know, he's been doing it at a high level for a long, long time. So you know, he's definitely one of the best in the area, if not the best. And you know, we're really grateful to have him.
Excellent. How are the numbers for spring sports? You got a good turnout with track and everything?
Yeah, we do actually have a pretty good turnout. The numbers were up a little bit from last year in the track program, which is nice. Lacrosse is down a little bit from last year, but actually we've gotten some bodies coming out in the last week or so. Our numbers overall are pretty good. I'm really happy with them. You know, we're not a huge school by any stretch, but we certainly have good participation numbers. And, you know, we keep building that. You know, when we hire coaches and get them on board, the one thing we talk about is how to build a program and what you can do to generate interest in your program. And, you know, we're not trying to poach from other sports, but we want to get those kids right. Who are athletic and want to be involved and like being around a team to go out for a sport and, you know, be involved and do something rather than just going home every day.
You know, we were looking at winter sports, and the Northeast Conference did pretty well in hockey and other areas, too. The league is pretty strong overall, isn't it?
In hockey?
No, the whole league,
the
whole conference.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's always been very competitive, and the whole league's always had good coaches and tough athletes and you know, just dedicated individuals. And I think that's what the NEC's all about. It's a gritty, tough conference, and I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of defense played in all sports, and you're going to have to fight to win, and that's what it's all about. It's all about the competition, and there's certainly always been, you know, high levels of competition
mm-hmm.
across the board in all sports.
All right, now, the thing is, okay, we haven't even started spring sports yet, but Bill and I are getting ready for football, and tell me about the stadium. How are things going over there?
The stadium's actually coming along really nicely. They've done a nice job. As far as I can tell, everything's on schedule, if not ahead of schedule. The one goal we had going in was to hopefully have graduation in there. That's kind of what we were aiming for, and it looks like we're on track for that. The bleachers they're sort of putting the finishing touches on the bleachers right now. The scoreboard's up. The new baseball field out there is kind of framed. They just need to grow all the grass. The track still needs to be laid down there. But basically, you can see everything. The turf's down. You know, all the lines and the numbers and the logos all sewn in. So it looks really nice. It's going to be a nice complex.
Well, except for the athletic director's office, it's an incredible new facility all the way around.
No comment.
Okay. All right, Andy. I wasn't trying to put you on the spot, but
it's a great complex and
beautiful.
Kids deserve it. They've been playing on fields that haven't been the best, you know, and not for lack of trying to maintain them. It's just
right.
They get so much use now. It's, you know, we have a pretty large youth program, and there's so many different groups and teams on these fields all the time. It's just, it really helps. It's going to be a big boost to our program to be able to practice in the rainy weather and get in there, you know, when it's not 70 and sunny. So, you know, being able to have that as a resource is going to be great for us.
Absolutely. Final question, Andy. You know, we always hear about how sometimes the private schools maybe, I don't want to say siphon off, but sometimes they get the best athlete from a community and so on. And we always hear it in either hockey or football or basketball. Does it trickle down? I mean, Danvers, it seems to me, for the most part, you pretty much hang on to your kids.
Yeah, I mean, we do the best we can. And, you know, I think the only way you can do that is to provide an experience for these kids that makes them want to stay. You know, the kids are going to talk amongst themselves, and word of mouth is what's going to get people to stay. And it's all based on the opportunities we can provide. I think we're as competitive as any leagues out there and any schools out there. And there's always going to be people that maybe prefer private education, and that's perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to try to encourage as many kids as we can to stay. And now we have top-notch facilities now, so that can't be an excuse anymore, because we're really stepping it up and giving these kids facilities that they really deserve.
Absolutely. I can't wait to get over there this fall. Andy, anything else you want to mention about spring sports at Danvers?
No, I am excited about it. I'm really excited to get outside. I know our coaches and players are ready to go. And, you know, like always, they support so much. They appreciate so much of the support from the community. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have an afternoon off or an evening off, just pop on by and show your support. The kids definitely notice, and they appreciate it. And we have some really good kids out there. So Just any support anyone can show for our teams is wonderful.
Absolutely, and I think that goes for all over the conference. You got a team visiting in, support those kids too. Be polite at the very worst. Be polite.
Yeah.
All right, Coach. I appreciate it. Andy, have a great spring, and hopefully it'll warm up before the end of the week.
Yeah, it will sooner or later.
All right.
Have me on. I appreciate it.
Okay, thanks a lot, Andy. Talk to you later. Take care.
All right. Bye.
That's Andy St. Pierre, who is the athletic director over at Danvers High School. Okay, break coming up, and what do we have next? Let me take a look here. Still got to talk to Steve Krause and Mike Zukowski, the Lynn Classical High School baseball coach. We'll be talking with Bill Newell coming up next. So stay with us. This is North Shore Sports Night.
MSO News Sports. We're joined by Mike Zukowski, head baseball coach at Lynn Classical High School, entering his ninth season at the helm. And Mike, you guys had an outstanding year last year. So tell me what the outlook is springing off of last year to this coming season.
Well, you know what? You're right. We ended up last year at 15-7. We lost in the second round of the state tournament to a feisty Concord Carlisle team that beat us by a run. And that majority of that team, those starters, were sophomores last year who actually had started as freshmen. And they will be coming back as juniors. And I think from last year and even the year before when we made the tournament, it's kind of these stepping stones we've made to, you know, hopefully get further in the tournament and be more successful this year. But some of those returning guys are Andrew Mosha, who's been my starting shortstop for the last 2 years. Tyler Way, who's coming back as a league all-star. He's in center field. Herbie Newton has been my number one pitcher for the last 2 years. He's coming back. Matthew Lauria, who actually played three positions last year, will be coming back as my main guy behind the plate. And then we have a few seniors coming back. Andre Gaudet is one of our captains. He's at first base. Brandon Devon is another league all-star who, due to an arm surgery, will be mainly our DH. And then Matthew Stanley, who caught a lot for us last year, will be seeing a lot of time on the mound this year as well as some time in the outfield. But that's our core at this point. We lost some key players. Damian Earp was a captain, played second base. We lost an outfielder in Kyle Morrill and a few other senior leaders that, you know, there are those holes that I have to fill. But so far, it looks like we'll be able to fill those holes, and we'll see how it goes this season.
Well, Mike, as we went through the winter, as a baseball coach, you must be thinking, well, I can't wait to get out on the fields, and then you have a couple of nice weeks of practice, more or less, and now what happened here with this weather? What are you guys thinking now?
Funny you say that, because I think it was last Saturday we scrimmaged Maskinomet, and T.J. Burrell and I were standing there talking, and I said, you know what, T, this is, you know, the weather's not great, I mean, but it's better than shoveling the field. Literally shoving the field like we were the year before. Then we got through the first couple weeks. You know, these first 2 weeks were nice. We out a lot more than we were last year. But then all of a sudden today, I can't believe what's going on right now. So I think this is going to keep us in for a couple more days at least. And then we open up on Friday against one of our non-league opponents in Newburyport.
Oh, I got you. Now, Mike, if you were to look at a strength of your – well, how about pitching? Let me go back. Tell me more about your pitching staff, because any team that's going to win and compete has got to have some guys that can pitch. But so who do you have pitching for you?
Well, we have two guys coming back. Herbie Newton, who has been starting for me since his freshman year, he'll be a junior. So he'll be coming back as my number one. Tyler Way, who's my center fielder, was my number two last year, but I don't know if he's going to play such a role on the pitching staff this year. We might keep him in center field and maybe get an inning or two here. But senior Matt Stanley looks to be the front runner to get that number two spot in the rotation. He's been working really hard in the off season. He's looked to be I don't know if it's going to be our opening day or our first league game starter on the mound. We have a few more guys who have come along and thrown really well in the offseason. Sean Dean is a senior who this will be his first full year on varsity. He looks to have developed a nice fastball, curveball. Hopefully, my shortstop, Andrew Mosher, will be able to get on the mound and throw a little bit for us and be effective. And then there's a few younger guys that we're really looking at to see if they can break into the rotation. But right now I got two solid starters, a third guy who will see a lot of time, whether it's, you know, pitching relief or spots of starting here or there.
Good.
And hopefully filling those other pieces of the puzzle with some of these new guys.
Well, we mentioned right at the beginning, Mike, that that you guys were ranked in that Herald poll, the preseason top 25 poll. Also in that poll from the Northeastern Conference is Danvers. But what teams are you expecting to be strong this year in the Northeastern Conference, at least looking at things preseason-wise?
Well, I mean, I say it every year. You're gonna have teams that are always, you know, the program is strong, and Danvers absolutely is one of those teams. Roger does a great job with that program over there, and they always put out a good product. Same thing, and I know they're not Division II, but in our league, you get the PBDs, who are always good. Mark does a great job as well. Lynn English, again, I know it's not Division II, but they're in our North Division in the league. They're going to be tough. You know, the Northeast Conference is always strong. If you go back into the past years, if you look at the actual MIAA tournament website, and you go into all divisions, there's always Northeast Conference teams making it to those final rounds, and it shows you how strong our league is, and there's no easy game ever on our schedule. So, I mean, besides those teams that I mentioned, we got the Gloucesters and the Salems and the Winthrops and the Beverleys. Dave Wilbur does a great job over there. He always puts out a good team. It's just there's no weak spot in our league. It's going to be a game every time we go out there.
No, you're right, and I think that's, you know, a lot of the sports are like that, but baseball, I think you're right to identify that. Over the years, and I go way back, I guess, but in a casual way of looking at the league, but you look, all those schools you mentioned have had their day when they've been very prominent within Northeast Conference baseball, so you never know what's going to happen, I guess, during the year.
No, you never do. It's always a game, like I said, and you can't never go in thinking, you know, it's a cakewalk or we got an easy W here. It's every team, one through 12 teams in the league, you're always going to get a game.
All right, Mike, last thoughts for me. We're talking with Mike Zukowski, head baseball coach at Lynn Classical High School. Oh, Mike, who's coaching with you this year? I will close out that way. Who's coaching with you this year for Classical?
Well, I have Jeff Waldron's my assistant varsity, along with Ricky Mayette. Jeff has been with me since day one, and it definitely couldn't do this without him and the other coaches. A lot of guys might say, you know, it's their program or it's, you know, this is the way I run things. But I'll tell you what, between, you know, Jeff, Ricky, and Greg Rybeck is a new addition on our JV team. He's an ex-player of mine that's coming back and coaching. And Kevin Fitterich is our freshman coach. Without those guys, none of this would be possible. You know, the success that we've had or the program that we've built is I have to give credit to all of them. I mean, it's a team effort, you know, and that goes all the way from, you know, my freshman team to the coaching staff. And I'd publicly like to thank them for all the hard work and dedication they put in with this team. And, you know, as we all know, we don't do this for the money, so they put a lot of time and effort in and spend a lot of time away from their families, but I just want to thank them for all their hard work.
Yeah, you do it for all the adulation, the praise, the bright lights. That's why you do it, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Mike Zukowski with us. He's the head baseball coach at Lynn Classical High School here with us on MSONewsSports.com.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Madruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trusts, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan, and today I'd like to speak to you about the North Shore Student Athlete Program. Sponsored by Moynihan Lumber in conjunction with the Salem News, the Daily Item, the Newburyport Daily News, and the Gloucester Times. The program, now in its 24th year, celebrates high school students who excel not just on the playing field, but in the classroom as well. Male and female winners are chosen each month. All student athletes must be nominated by their coaches. Nominations for the program are made via email to nsstudentathlete@gmail.com. Youngsters who are nominated must have a B, average, or better. Monthly winners are then eligible to be selected as Student Athletes of the Year. Yearly winners and their families are recognized at a luncheon at the Salem Country Club held in early June. Please remember, all youngsters playing a varsity sport at any high school on the North Shore, public, private, or parochial, are eligible.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, there you go. Takes care of it for tonight. Appreciate it. Thank you to all of our guests, and my apologies to Steve Krause for not being able to squeeze Steve in, and I don't want to squeeze him in. I want to be able to talk with Steve and pick his brain and listen to him wax poetic about Lynn sports and professional sports as well. So hopefully we'll have Steve on very early next week. He's the editor, of course, at the Daily Item, and again, my apologies to Steve and those who are waiting to hear his pearls of wisdom, and he has many of them each time we talk. Also want to thank Gary Larrabee, sports writer and sports historian. Thanks to Mary Ryan, the Rockport High School Athletic Director, Danvers Athletic Director Andy St. Pierre, and of course Bill's interviews with Mike Zukowski, Lynn Classical Baseball Coach, Dave Wilbur, Beverly Baseball Coach. And we're going to run Bill's interview with the new Lynn English Athletic Director, Dick Newton, just as soon as I bail out of here. So that's it. Don't forget, we have North Shore Today every day, every weekday, I should say, on MSO News Sports, usually posted before noontime. Bill Newell hosting, also puts up a lot of videos up there that are fun and entertaining. And, of course, we have North Shore Sports Night every Monday night at 7 p.m. I say every Monday night, but many, if not most, Monday nights. Tim will be rejoining me, of course, later on when baseball season is over. And we also have Trending Now on Fridays with Josh Arnold. 3 o'clock on Friday afternoons at the moment. We'll be changing that time coming up in the near future. But Josh, with interviews, usually lengthy interviews, as a matter of fact, live talk with municipal elected officials and all kinds of important people and newsworthy people all over the region. Josh is able to connect with these people and get them on Fridays at 3 p.m. We also will be running on our radio station. We're going to start running some live streaming. There'll be package programs, of course, but also our live programming. And we should be doing some baseball games in the not-too-distant future, but we are, in fact, getting ready for football. So pass the word, please. msonewsports@gmail.com is how you get a hold of us. msonewsports@gmail.com. And send along your suggestions and opinions if you don't mind. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and thanks to Bill Newell as well. Coming up, don't forget, we have an interview that Bill Newell just did today with the new Lynn English High School Athletic Director, Dick Newton. Thanks for joining us. See you next week.
Brand new Lynn English High Athletic Director Dick Newton is here with us. And Dick, congratulations on the elevation here at English High School.
Elevated as is, you know. I'm happy with the promotion.
Yeah. And, it's something that you've been the assistant athletic director for a while here. You know the job. You know what has to be done. All of those things, I'm sure. And something you'd like to do, but you also have to be careful what you wish for, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of things that you don't know that you're trying to figure out, and paperwork and where certain things are, and cleaning out closets that have things in it from 1975.
So you're not charging that Gary Malaya was a pack rat or anything like that, are you?
He packed a lot of stuff. He packed more stuff than I would have, so I'm clean out. He took what he really needed, and he said, throw away all the stuff that you don't want, so we're doing that.
We'll call him a packer. That's whatever. I don't know what. But anyway, as we have mentioned before in our programs, congratulations to Gary for moving from athletic director to the vice principalship here at English High School.
Yeah, we're happy for Gary. Gary really wanted to be a vice principal. He's been working at it for a long time. He did his CAGs and all that stuff. So I kind of pushed him a little to move up so I could move up. What's good for one is sometimes good for somebody else, and it's worked out great for both of us.
Well, maybe you put a good word in for him now and then, right?
Every day in the principal's office, knock, knock. How's Gary doing?
Well, Dick, you come into this job. I look at other athletic directors around here, and I'm just thinking off the top of my head, I can't imagine there's anyone that has the kind of experience coaching that you've had. Not that you have to have coaching experience a lot to be an AD. I'm not saying that, but you've coached football, baseball, basketball. You've done it all at different areas. So talk about that and the three different big sports and so on.
I think the big thing is how you want to be treated as a coach. So you kind of, as being a coach, you know how you want to be treated by somebody that's your boss. I've umpired for 15 years, and I'm the president of the Umpires Association in North Shore. So you got to learn how to treat officials, pay them on time. It's enlightening to have all that experience, but it'd be worth doing in the end.
No, I think that's valuable experience, as you point out, Dick, because your job is that there's a communication piece when you're in leadership, and that if you're not communicating well and you're not being perceived, they're not reading what you're saying accurately or the way you'd want it to be portrayed, then it's a mess up. You know what I'm saying? And by having that experience, you know really what to say and do, I think, for your coaches.
Well, when I coached at Marblehead, I had a really good athletic director, Alex Kulovich. He was by far one of the nicest guys and probably the best boss I ever had. He never raised his voice. He would ask you to do everything, and he would help you do everything to make sure it got done. That's the kind of things I'd like to do. I'm not going to tell anybody what to do or anything. I'm there to administer and to help people.
Well, you're right about Alex. Let's digress and talk about Alex just for a moment. Football coach at Marblehead. I go way back when he was football coach and AD. But in fact, I think when I came just down to this area, he had just taken over temporarily as the athletic director on an acting situation. This was many, many years ago now. And obviously, he was one of the best. I know folks, all around, loved him because of his commitment. I think both to the major sports, but also to the girls' sports, which were growing at that time and increasing, and for all these reasons that we know now.
Yeah, I watched Alex especially with the spring sports because I was a baseball coach, and baseball wasn't any more important than track or any of the other sports that he had, and he was just the kind of guy everybody liked, and nobody ever said a bad word about Alex because Alex only tried to help you. He would never hurt anybody. He was a great guy.
No, very helpful. I know when I was at the WESX and so on, and of course there's all the kids that the Kulovich has had, and the big family and the athletics. They have the waves of kids, athletes just keep coming through Marblehead and other communities as well.
Yeah, he used to, it's funny. He used to the last note he sent me when he retired was, just remember, family is the most important thing in your life. And I always try to make time for my three girls and my wife. And so, he used to stress that more than one time with me because he saw me out all the time. So I have a lot of respect for Alex.
Well, let's talk about some of the spring sports here. Obviously, as we talk on this day, 3 to 6 inches in the forecast here. Got a couple on the ground here as we speak here on Monday afternoon. But, what's the baseball situation looking like this year at English High?
Well, it's funny. When I was coaching at Marblehead in 1997, we had 24 inches of snow on April 1st. And it melted in a week. So we're hoping this goes away and within a week and we kick in. Joe Caponigro does a great job with the baseball team. I think he's in his 13th year. So I'm not, I really don't worry too much about the baseball program. Softball program, Jack Bartlett is the head coach of that, does a great job. I played with Jack, and you know, I know the type of guy Jack is. And Orrin Wright and Brenda Martin, the track coaches, they do a great job. And Kerry King and Lauren Mazzetti are the tennis coaches. And so we're pretty solid there. Spring sports is I'm pretty happy.
Yeah. And you never know with in the springtime, and you know it's just like one of these things. You knew like the winter that we had, and even the last couple of weeks we had, that all of a sudden this doesn't just surprise us after what we've been through with the last few years.
No, I'm not surprised. Nothing surprises me anymore. I mean, you know, you get into the global warming type of climate change, but you know, this is to me, it's normal to have a spring snowstorm. That's nothing out of the ordinary.
I think what's discouraging is, Dick, is I watch the weather, even at noontime, and it's not going to really warm up a lot. I guess maybe by Thursday it'll warm up. It'll be all gone by Thursday, but it seems like you're right. You know, the sun should come out, you know, like we did the other day, and be like 50 degrees, and it's all gone just like that.
We're going to wake up one day, and it's going to be 80 degrees out. We're going to say, wow, geez, it's summertime, and without having a spring.
All right. Well, Dick, let's see what else, you know, as you look back, who are your coaching influences? Because you got so many, we might have to limit this a little bit, Dick, but tell me of some of your coaching influences.
I would say, Ron Bennett was a big influence on me. I'm still in contact with him all the time. And, he's a wonderful guy, and he was a disciplinarian back then. And, the guy that made you come to practice on time and do the right thing and no drinking. And he prepared you for college. And then you had Billy Hall, who was probably the complete opposite of Ron Bennett, who didn't allow you to drink and anything like that. But you had a lot of fun at practice, and, it was really enjoyable. So those two guys, I say, were the most important probably guys in my, I had a guy in college, two guys, Jack Gillis, who's in the Professional Baseball Scouts Hall of Fame, and Brian Sabian, who is the assistant general, he's the general manager for the San Francisco Giants. Those two guys really had influence on me on taking care of detail and the small things, because, you know, obviously you were there because you could play, but it was the small things that mattered. And those guys had a big influence.
You're right. That's what's so amazing about this job is, like, if I've covered it over the years, is like, you're right. At one season, Lynn English, the face of Lynn English is Ron Bennett for two seasons. And it's, you know, you're right. It's Bill Hall. And tell me about another coach that you were with, because every year, and I want this, because Paul Duchesne is someone that I knew as well, and you coached with Paul Duchesne. He coached football here at Lynn English High School. I think he revitalized the program when he was here at that time. But he also coached softball, right? Was that over at Classical, I'm trying to think? I think he did that at maybe two different. Yeah, I think it might have been over at Classical, and maybe he did it somewhere else. But I could be wrong on that. But tell me more about him.
Well, Paul, I was young. I was 24 years old, 23 or 24 years old, and Paul asked me if I would coach with him, and he was a fiery guy, and he was heart and soul he put into coaching. We was sitting in his house for hours going over film, him and Rad, the guy's name was Radcliffe, I forget his first name right now, and Mike Reddy, and we would sit and watch films to a point where, you know, you wanted to go home because it was so, but he put his heart and soul into coaching football, and he was a great guy, and he always had a cup of coffee in his hand, he was jittery, and he was ready to go, and you know, you never saw him down, and it was sad that he passed away at such a young age, but Paul was a very, very, very interesting to work with.
It was tragic, you know, and I'm struck by, you know, there are little moments in your life, little things that change things of what you do or think about. Yeah. So one of the things that we used to do, like, years ago now, so think about, go back 30 years, 25 years, 20 years, the local newspapers, and they probably still do this, they predict the games, the football games every week. Well, you know, we never really did too much of that on the radio station, but we thought about doing it, or we talked about it, and I always was a little struggling doing it. But one night, it was after the English game, and English, I won't mention some names here, but Paul Duchesne was the English coach, and they just knocked off. I'm not sure who they knocked off. It could have been Salem, okay? Mm-hmm. So it was an English-Salem game, great game, I'm sure. But Salem was picked to win by this Salem News sports writer, a very good sports writer, still in contact with him today, great guy. Mm-hmm. But Paul was upset at him after the game because he picked Salem, you know, and he's coming after him a little bit, like, well, what do you think now? You know, kind of things. But you know, and after that, I realized, you know something, you don't need to pick games, you know, because you're ticking somebody else off. So it's a bulletin board kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm not big on. when you start doing that with kids, it's all right when you're doing it with pros, but when you're doing it with kids, you know, it's not very what's the word I want to use? Nice. It's not very.
You know what it was back then. I think now, like some of the newspapers still do it, but I think they're very simple. They just pick a score.
You get point spread.
But they used to have a comment after it. That's what it was. Now that it's coming back to me now. So there might have been some kind of a comment in there on one of them. And if you're forced as somebody, you know, everyone's got their job to do. If you're forced to pick a score and then write some kind of crazy comment on it, yeah, you know, I'm sure you're going to get rung up by somebody someday.
Well, eventually you're going to get somebody mad. Yeah. Anytime you're doing that, if you're taking a side, eventually the other side's going to get mad at you. Yeah. It's almost like umpiring.
No, absolutely. You know, you're right. Well, Dick, anything else you want to share with us at all? I don't want to hold you too long here, but it's always great catching up with you. But about this job or anything else that you want to talk about, the athletes, the coaches, the seasons, or whatever.
Well, we're looking forward to spring, and you know, and I think that, you know, I'm very happy that I have the job, and I'm just taking over, continuing what Gary did. Gary did a great job as the AD, and I think English high school sports are in good shape. I think they're in very good shape.
Well, now we're going to test out your rescheduling abilities here with this weather.
It's funny. It didn't kill any games today because we only had a track meet against Glasgow, so that was an easy one to kill. But the National Honor Society got canceled tonight, so that's going to next Monday, so we're going to be killing everything on Monday. So that's a whole other issue.
Yeah, exactly. Ripple effect. All right, well, there he is, Dick Newton, the new athletic director at Lynn English High School, with us here on MSO News Sports.